ghost, you found the diner! Not that that's particularly difficult, it's where it's always been. The diner at the end of the dial on an old Highway 23. It's Friday, June 2nd, 2006. Welcome!
It's called the Accelerator, pal. Give it a shot!
Hi, folks. James Lilacs here. Not at the long boomerang patterned Formica counter, actually. Not yet. I'm on my way to the diner. I'm actually late, I know. Well, to tell you the truth, I wasn't even intending on showing up tonight until I got the call, but we'll get to that in a second. I'm here on old Highway 23, stuck. Stuck behind this guy who apparently thinks that if he does 1 mile over the speed limit, his car will be pitched back into the future and he'll have to avoid dating his mother or something like that. Imagine the sheer unmitigated gall of the man who insists on doing the speed limit. Since this is one of those two-lane blacktops, I can't pass him easily. Oh, I can swing out to the left, and I can punch it, and go 95 miles an hour, and have my sphincter crawl up into my esophagus while waiting for somebody to all of a sudden materialize in the other lane, but I prefer not to. So until that opportunity arises, I'll just have to poke along behind and be late. I suppose I could listen to the radio. I have satellite radio here in the new vehicle. I think I have 1,297 channels. I have no idea what more than 10 of them are, but I am being bombarded constantly by radio from space, so perhaps I'd best avail myself of it. Let's see what this one is here. Number 666. The Vader Channel? Not in the mood. Let's see, 667, the classic old-time radio announcers channel. No shows, just announcing.
The Kraft Foods Company presents The Great Gildersleeve.
You're listening to the Top of the Pops here from the top of the Tip Tap Top Room here in Chicago, Illinois. Let's go back to our band now, Zig Zar and the Zaggers with Oak and Now a Baby.
That'll get old fast. I wonder if there's a channel devoted just to the sound of the car. There's something very comforting and soothing about the sound of the wheels on the asphalt. Maybe I'll just listen to the sound of my car. Okay, the road's clear. I think I'm going to try to get around this guy now. Hold on, I hate this part.
Crap! Another car!
Man, where did he come from? Guy was going like a Jim Steinman concept album. Well, back to the radio. Let's see. Channel 712. The Foreshadowing Channel. Give it a shot.
We'll be right back.
Well, here we are at the old diner. Finally. Place is oddly empty. There's one car in the parking lot, though. Usually don't feel like this, but as I approach the diner, I am filled with odd foreboding. As though they might be out of pie. Or my deepest beliefs might be challenged, one of the two, but I'm mostly concerned about the pie. I've been running low. Ah, well. Hello? Anyone here? I guess I'll just seat myself then. Fine. Well, I hope I'm not stood up here. I got a call earlier tonight from a fellow that I've corresponded with, emailed. An Italian gentleman, name of Bigelow di Umbria. The world's foremost authority on cheesecake. And I do not mean the triangular kind that you... Well, circular. Well, after you cut it, you get triangles. I don't mean the kind you eat. I mean the kind that you look at reverentially, nodding with your chin in your hands as you admire the way the artist made the moonlight fall on that great big set of knockers. On the technique that the artist can bring to the female form. I don't have a cheesecake collection myself, but I've always enjoyed the stuff from the 40s and 50s. Not the 30s. That's creepy, because they're all flat-chested and they look like Peter Lorre. But the stuff from the 40s and the 50s I like. Anyway, he asked me to meet him at the diner tonight, a matter of extreme importance. And he's late. So, it's just me in the jukebox for a while, I guess. Then again, I was late, wasn't I? So maybe he came and left. No, I wasn't that late. That couldn't have been him in that car rushing past, could it? No, no. Well, enough. Let's see what's on the jukebox here. What do we got? What's new? What's hot? What's happening? What's on the top of the pops of the tip-tap top room, as that particular radio announcer said. Oh, this looks new. B-17. Is that same song, Celery Stalks at Midnight, by somebody else. Odd. Let it roll. You know, I love being at the diner late at night by myself. I know it's rather antisocial and selfish of me, but when you're here, by yourself, no one else, you really get a sense for what the diner must have been like back in the day. Why did I use that phrase? I hate that phrase. Back in the day. I'm sorry, sir. Do you have a specific diurnal cycle in mind? No, just generally referring to the past. I see. The whole great wobbly backstory of your life reduced down to 24 hours. Yes, the day. Anyway, back in the day, the diner was not very much different than it is right now. I mean, obviously, they've added some details and decor. The boomerang pattern from Formica counter, at which I now sit, for example, was obviously added in the 50s. It wasn't indigenous to that particular era. But nearly everything else is how it was. As far as I understand, and again, these are just hearsay tales, the diner originally served a lunch crowd from the defense factories up the road. Now, old Highway 23 back then, of course, wasn't old. It was the Highway 23. This was before it got put out of business by the other freeway. And so at lunch, you'd have all the guys from the defense factories come here and eat their hash and smoke their Luckies and the rest of it. I never really knew what they made. I suppose it was the usual shells and tanks and the rest of it. There have been stories of one particular facility off Highway 23 called Area 57, which was even more mysterious than Area 51, to say nothing, of course, Areas 52 through 56, of which, of course, you know nothing. You knew that, didn't you? I mean, Area 51 is just a cover for Area 52 and through 56. Area 57, they said, was a place where they were attempting to reverse engineer captured alien condiments. And I have no idea what became of that. It's possible that they found some intergalactic Tabasco from the wreck of a UFO from the planet Zebulon or something. That was the secret ingredient that the Manhattan Project needed to make the bombs go. Maybe. We'll never know. Let's just say nobody's talking. Anyway, I wonder what the place was like. I imagine it was blue with smoke and noisy with talk. And all the guys probably, at some point, pointed and grinned at the calendar that's up there on the wall to this day, right by the cash register. It's from 1942. June 1942. It's really an extraordinary piece of pinup cheesecake art. And I mean literally art. As I learned later upon doing a little research about it, it's by a guy named Art Fromm, who specialized in, trust me, stay with me, paintings in which women's underwear fell off while they were walking down the street after a trip to the grocery store. That was his specialité. In all of the pictures, the women have a bag of groceries and sometimes a dog wrapped around their legs with a leash, and the underwear just hit the pavement. And apparently, there was enough of a demand for this that it fulfilled some deep and primal male fantasy that he just did one after the other. The one that's up on the wall and has been on the wall since 1942, maybe the strangest of them all, because the woman is not on a bus or in an elevator or a store, or as she often is. She's standing on a street corner, but it's a disembodied street corner. There's no cityscape behind it, just this sort of yellowish limbo world. And there, between the lanes of traffic, she stands, bag of groceries, panties around her ankles. I wonder if they had a name for her. I wonder if there was a reason that that never came down. I wonder if, before they went off to the shift at Area 57, all the guys just sort of shot a finger at the old Art Fromm chick. See you tomorrow, sweetheart. He's not going to show. This was all probably some elaborate ruse to get me out of the house so we could rot the joint. You know, send some emails back and forth. Oh, I have something to tell you of extreme importance about pinups and cheesecake art. Meet you at the diner, and, you know, off I go. And then as soon as he sees me turn the corner, he's jimmying the door for... Wait a minute. Something important to tell me about cheesecake pinup art, and he wanted to meet here. Could it have anything to do with that calendar that's been up there since 1942? I'm looking at it right now, and you know, it looks slightly askew, as though someone had moved it. Nonsense. Oh, man. It's late and I'm exhausted. You know, I'm going to get myself a cup of coffee. There's no waitress here, no chef as far as I can tell. I don't think anybody will mind if I just go around the counter there and pour myself a cup.
Just go around the corner here. Oh my God!
It's him! Dead! He's been poisoned. His face is a horrible green. But it appears he had enough time to arrange his body in a way that's trying to tell me something. His boxers are down around his ankles. And he has a... He's written something on the menu in his own blood. No, that's too red for blood. It's ketchup. He's written me a message in ketchup. Whatever this means, I have the feeling I'll never look at things the same way again.
I have the feeling that nothing is ever going to be the same again. So I'd better get him out of here before he starts to smell. You know, that smell you just never could get out. It's just there for good. While I'm dealing with the body. And now a word from our sponsor.
Did you say God? Well, I know him by everything you say and do. Did you say God? Well, I've seen him every time I look at you.
Yeah, well, it's him. I checked his wallet, and it's Bigelow di Umbria. It's Italian for something or other, I don't know what. And I have the menu with his dying message here. I wonder if I should call the cops. No, of course, why would I call the cops? Empty, deserted diner, dead body, my fingerprints all over the place. Why would I call the cops? No, just walk away. That'll work out well in the end. Yeah, of course I have to call the cops. But I feel as though I have to decrypt this message here before a series of trained professional investigators are on the scene, because if I don't decode what he's trying to tell me in a very short, narrow time frame here, it'll never be known by anybody, because, you know, the cops, they show up, they don't care about cryptic messages. This might shed a light onto why the person was murdered. Nah, they're just punching the clock, those guys. Tag and bag. Or is it bag and tag? Anyway, I'll call them in a second here. But first, this message, it's just... It says, if more information is sought by you, seek below the 42. Why the hell couldn't you just tell me what he... What? All right, I'm going to think about that for a second. And in the meantime, I'm going to punch something up here in the jukebox, because, frankly, the sound of me lost in thought and cogitating, it's not particularly compelling. Oh, it would be nice if my brain gave off the sound of Powerhouse, you know, dun 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 dun, ba da da ba ba ba. But if everybody's brain did that, nobody would go to the library, because it would be deafening, the sound. Right? Okay, so that's why I'm playing a song. I'll be right back.
I met a gal in Missouri when I was on the go. She said that she wanted to be my own tomato. So I went down and bought a license, and we saw the preacher man. And as sure as the moon's above, no one can make love like my tomato can. She's just a homegrown tomato. She comes from the show-me state. She's just a little green tomato, but to me she is great. There's no other gal in Missouri or nowhere else in the land can kiss and hold me tight and make love all night like my tomato can. She's just a homegrown tomato. She comes from the show me state. She's just a little green tomato, but to me she is great. Oh, there's no other gal in Missouri or nowhere else in the land can kiss and hold me tight and make love all night like my tomato can.
Of course, it makes perfect sense now. Bigelow wrote, "If more evidence is sought by you, look before the 42, and the 42 refers to the calendar, the Art Fromm calendar that's been on the wall since 1942. So, poisoned and wanting to get a message across, with his dying breath, it was more like his dying finger, I guess. He wrote the, he didn't use his finger to write the message. He wrote it in ketchup, but he used the bottle. It's got that very narrow point you have on restaurant ketchup dispensers, the squeeze please variety, which is what they have here. You know, the one with the waitress inside the waitress inside the waitress. Anyway, you can get some nice pen control, some quality penmanship. Condiment-ship can be done if you really take the time. I mean, obviously he didn't, he was dying, but that's some nice work he did there. And he wrote down the message telling me to go to the calendar, where no doubt I will find additional information about the mystery. So how did that work exactly? He knows he's dying, and instead of writing out the whole thing on the menu in ketchup, he writes a reference to the calendar, where I will find something else, which means that he would have gone to the calendar first to write that. But what if he had died between writing the first message and then scrolling the rest of it in the ketchup and arranging himself on the floor with his boxers around his ankles? Then the whole thing would have made no sense whatsoever. The mystery deepens. Anyway, let's go take a look at what is on that calendar. Let's head down the counter to the let's head down together, shall we? All right, I'm looking at it. The famous Art Fromm painting of the woman with her underwear down, with that mysterious, almost sfumato background, and that strange expression of surprise and panic on her face. What could it mean? Well, I'm supposed to look below the 42. Huh. There it is, 1942, and the calendar. Why do they put the year on calendars? I mean, I can see putting it on in January, because there's the big changeover, but you know, by April, people really ought to know it's, you know, what the year is. And anyway, it's showing July. Huh. My God, it's showing July 2nd. There's a red blotch on the day. But there's nothing else. Huh, what could it be? I know exactly what it is. There's nothing under the 42 because I can't see it, because he wrote it in invisible ink. Because he was coming to a diner to meet a guy to talk about pinup art and just stopped on the way out to naturally grab the invisible ink. Right. No. Wait. Lemon juice. He used lemon juice. Of course, I remember this from all my Hardy Boys novels. If you need to write something in invisible ink and there isn't any about, you use lemon juice, preferably with a toothpick, and we've got plenty of toothpicks around here. And then all I have to do is expose it to flame, and the message will be apparent. Brilliant. Brilliant. I'll just use my trusty Zippo here. wave it around. See what comes. And there are words. There are words. And they're backwards. For God's sakes. It's like the oldest, stupidest secret code in the world. Who's ever flummoxed by backwards writing anymore? I can imagine back in the old days, before the relative ubiquity of mirrors, shall we say, but nowadays somebody sees something written backwards that just, they don't say, well, that's it, dead-ended here, no getting around that. They take it to the bathroom and look in the mirror. But, no, I'm in a diner. There are so many reflective surfaces around here, I needn't go back to the lavatory to take a look here, so let me just take it off. Ooh, take it off the wall. Do I dare? Yes, of course I dare. I'm sure they've been cleaning and dusting around this thing since they hung it in 1942. All right, just right off the hook.
Jeebus, farting crow!
All right, it stays on the hook. I think we can all agree to that.
Okay with you, Brownie? I forgot, you're dead.
That's how he used to sign some of his emails. Brownie. Yeah. Yours sincerely, Bigelow de Umbria, Brownie. Yeah. Well, if I can't get this thing off the hook without setting off alarms, why would they alarm a calendar, for God's sakes? Cash register doesn't even have an alarm on it. Well, I'll have to use some sort of reflective surface here. Oh, I'll just use the napkin dispenser. These things have been polished like, you know, the Hubble telescope. Just buff it up a little here in my shirt and hold it up to the... Wait a minute. Brownie. De Umbria. Umber, burnt... Of course. That's where they got that from. I think Umbria is Italian for some kind of brown. So, I guess the guy's name is Bigelow de Brown. Huh, what do you know? Sounds less mysterious, doesn't it? Just see him, you know, in gym class.
Brown, Bigelow.
How could you possibly react and come forward to claim a name like that?
Brown, Bigelow.
Oh, no wonder he went into cheesecakery. Probably just got shunned by every woman in the class. All right, anyway, I'm holding up the napkin dispenser. And I can make out some words. Though my words may seem fantastic, blame not the green for loose elastic.
Nice and cryptic, Brownie. I'm just inches away from getting to the bottom of this.
All right, let me think about this one again. Just play song C3. Hold on a second. Hold on. There's writing on the bottom of his shoes. I can see it from here. I couldn't see it before because when I came around the counter from the other direction, I was standing over him. But when I went down the counter the other way to look at the painting, as per the instructions that he'd written in ketchup on the menu, he must have known that when I looked back at him, I would then see the soles of his shoes and see his... perhaps his final message. Let me get down here and take a look. All right. One shoe says, I say from. And the other shoe says, you say fram. Huh. I wonder if that's the end of it. I wonder if he called the whole thing off. Why is that familiar? You say from, I say fram, I say from, you say from. Think, brain, think! No. All right, let's take this from the top and see if I can make sense of this. Renowned pinup art historian Bigelow de Umbria, Bigelow Brown, contacts me and wants to meet me at the diner to discuss something of utmost importance. When I get here, I find that he has been murdered, but he has written a secret message in ketchup on the menu. The message on the menu tells me to go to the Art Fromm painting from 1942 to find another message, and that message says, though my words may seem fantastic, blame not the green for loose elastic. What can it... Wait a minute, there's something else here. I just noticed that, my God, I should... Oh. Oh. Well, the green, obviously, the green refers to the celery. There's celery in nearly every single one of Art Fromm's paintings. The women who are walking around and suddenly have their underwear fall to the floor are all carrying a bag full of celery, right? All right. But he says, blame not the green for loose elastic. What does that mean? If the celery isn't responsible, then something else is. I mean, for years we've gone on the assumption that the presence of celery was what somehow made gravity exert an extra force on the women's panties, but of course, the third message, the message on his shoes, you say Fromm, I say Fram, it's the song, you say tomato, I say tomato. That's what he's trying to tell us. It wasn't celery, it never was celery that brought the women's panties down, it was the tomato, and the tomato is in the bag, we just can't see it. It's almost metaphysical. We have to trust that the tomato was in the bag, that Fromm himself, when he was painting these things, was thinking of the tomato. Maybe there's a bulge, maybe we're supposed to think it was an onion, but no, it's really not, it's a love apple. Of course, and he wrote that in the medium of the tomato itself, the ketchup, the first clue was in the ketchup. Oh, my... And what I realized just a few seconds ago, looking at the calendar, was who printed it. Of course, the St. Paul publisher, the most famous painter, the most famous publisher of all of the great cheesecake art of the 40s and 50s, Brown and Bigelow. That can only mean one thing. He himself, Bigelow de Umbria, is a member of that ancient clan that put out this calendar in the first place. It's been a family secret. It's something they've hidden. God knows what they've done to keep it concealed. But tonight he was going to tell me. Tonight he was going to tell the world. Well, he did. He did. From now on, it's going to have to be known. Books are going to have to be written. Entire theories of Art Fromm are going to have to be redone. It wasn't the celery. They tried to make you think it was. Green like the verdant goddess itself. The celery was to blame. No, it's all been a cover-up. A cover-up for the mealy, seedy tomato. Well, that's been a productive night. It's worth coming down here, I'd say. Ah, mystery solved. Except, of course, for who killed him. Yeah. You know, I'm going to leave that one for the police. But first, I think I'm going to spend a good half hour wiping the place down. Thanks for coming by, folks. This has been The Diner for Friday, June 2nd, 2006. We'll see you next week. Now, what did I touch? Lots of stuff.
Considina tomato paste.